Now, the last 2 weeks, when we've been looking at questions, Simon and Richard have played you a song. I couldn't find a song that fitted this. I was wrestling with Stairway to Heaven and Knock, Knock, Knock on Heaven's Door, but neither of them seemed to fit. So you've got jokes instead, sorry. As we're looking at questions, I'm going to ask you some biblical one-liners. Why is Adam considered the fastest person in the Bible? He came first in the human race. How do you make holy water? You take some regular water and you boil the devil out of it. I'll wait for the pitters of laughter to go running out. Okay. Why did Samson try to avoid arguing with Delilah? He didn't want split hairs. Why did the hawk sit on the church steeple? It's a bird of prey. Which area of the Promised Land was especially wealthy? The area around Jordan, where the banks kept overflowing. And why is Samson considered the best comedian in the Bible? He brought the house down. And then a bit more in keeping with where our passage is coming from, just a slightly different one. And God said unto Matthew, come forth, and ye shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But Matthew came fifth, so he received a very nice toaster instead. The kingdom of God, what is it like? As we continue to look at the questions of Jesus, we turn to one perhaps which is a little less straightforward than do not worry. Couched as this question is in the history of God's interaction with the Jewish people. Just as then people's ideas of God's kingdom meant and varied a lot, so do ours today, perhaps. So let's try and unpack what Jesus has to say in these two very short parables. They may seem not to contain much, but they do. But let's set the scene. We're told in the Gospels that Jesus came and preached about the kingdom of God. John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, the phrase kingdom of God appears over 80 times in Matthew, Mark, and as today, Luke. And last week in Simon's sermon, when we were talking about why not to worry, we were instructed to seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, his reign and his rule, are the first thing we're called to put in our lives by Jesus. It's the keystone of Jesus' teaching. In fact, in Matthew, it tells us that Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. But what is this kingdom? Just before our reading today, in the verses that precede, Jesus was indeed teaching in the synagogue on a Sabbath. In fact, healing on a Sabbath, which upset some of the top people there. And we can surmise that as what he did was teach about the kingdom, that was the subject of his teaching. And perhaps somebody came to him and said, Rabbi, explain what you mean. And so that's where this question comes from. Jesus says about the kingdom of God, to give them these two parables. You see, listening around him would have been people who knew their scripture, knew their Old Testament from the time of David. David praised God in words that we still use today, sometimes in our offertory prayer. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all. The people of Israel believed in a God of all creation, to whom everyone and everything in the world was subordinate, a God who created a perfect world, defiled by sin and rebellion. But they hoped that one day this great kingdom, this ideal that that God created would come again. At the appointed time, God would renew his sovereignty over the world and all things. And they longed for this day, the day of the Lord, which was aligned with the reign of the Lord's Messiah. But while they waited, their concept of what truly the kingdom of God was changed from the image that Isaiah gave of the Messiah of peace, of counseling, to one of war, of politics. A person who would come and just overthrow the governments in one fell swoop and bring back the state of Israel. So when Jesus came and preached that the kingdom of God was at hand, obviously the crowd thought, great, the day has come. Waiting for this powerful leader would bring God's rule and reign, who would wipe the Romans off the face of the earth. That would be great. That's what they thought the kingdom of God was. What do we think the kingdom of God is? Do we think it's the future to long for? Are you thinking, oh, well, the kingdom of God, when I die, that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in God's presence. That's the kingdom of God. Do we think the kingdom of God, that is when Jesus comes again and everything is put in its place, that is the kingdom of God? But the thing is, we have a wonderful counsellor, a mighty God, an everlasting Prince of Peace. Does that fall in with what Isaiah tells us? The kingdom of God, you see, isn't a coming event. It's an event that's already happened. It's not a time in history, it's a time in history that happened. It's not a sudden overthrowing of all injustice, war and suffering. It's something that's growing and going and present. It is about a powerful king, but it's a powerful king who already reigns. What is the kingdom of God like? Later on in Luke, that question was asked by a Pharisee. And Jesus said this, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in you. You see, the kingdom of God is Jesus' reign and rule. There is not a kingdom now, and a spiritual kingdom of heaven come later. There's just one kingdom, but it's now, future, always, and forever. So what we can learn about this kingdom is that we have it now. But what are its characteristics that Jesus is trying to show in these two very short parables? Firstly, we have the mustard seed. Now, Jesus used the parable of a mustard seed quite a lot. He used it about the mustard seed of faith. But you see, the mustard seed we think of, maybe, as that thing that when you go to primary school, they give you, and you put on the blotting paper with the water, and up pops the little green plant that you think of, and you take it home and you eat them. And in fact, if you're one of those sort of healthy people, mustard seeds are supposed to be very good for you in that form. Contain lots of nutrients. But a mustard seed to the Israelites was something completely different, because a mustard grew into a big tree, sometimes 7 or 8 feet in height. And lots of birds would come and nest in the tree. In Matthew's gospel, this parable is also told, but he concentrates on the size of the seed, about the fact that the kingdom starts from a small thing and grows to a big thing. But here, in this illustration, he's more interested in the tree that grows and gives places for the birds of the air to rest. William Barclay says that in the Old Testament, a symbol of great empires was often a tree. And the branches were often those who were subject to the kingdom, who took shelter. And then they provided for all the birds of the air the protection. You, we are told, in other parts of the Bible, are the branches. Because the kingdom living in you is Jesus. We're called to be his branches. And those birds of the air are all peoples who can come and rest and have shelter and be nurtured within the protection of God's kingdom. In other words, the kingdom of God is a place where we can find rest and shelter. God is slowly restoring the order and highlighted in Davidic prayer that he is in control. The kingdom will come and give rest and shelter. So it grows slowly from a faithful planting of the seed. We have had that seed planted in us if we have come to Jesus in faith and repented. The kingdom lives in us, his reign and rule in us. And we are called to be those branches that grow and allow the birds of the air to rest in us. We are to provide openness and rest for all people. In this parable, there are no specific birds that rest in the branches. All the birds of the air. So another facet of the kingdom is it's for all. Not for one church, one nation, one experience of Christ, but for all who come to Christ and want to rest in him. No one is excluded. The kingdom is there. It's supposed to be attractive. Look at the beauty of that bush. The mustard bush is beautiful. It welcomes those in. Are we beautiful? Do people outside see the kingdom here? A beautiful growing tree that provides rest, that provides shade from the harshness of the world, that doesn't discriminate, that is open to all who look to enter the kingdom. Because that's what the kingdom of God is. So what can we learn from the second part of this reading, the parable of the yeast, or the leaven, as they would have called it? Well, we all know that yeast, these tiny, tiny little grains, if you buy them in the shop, they're in that little packet, all nicely weighed out for you to put in your dough. But they're tiny, but they have an amazing effect. When mixed with the dough, we know that it produces huge growth. And if we try to make bread, if we don't get the yeast right, we know what happens. Bread does not rise. I've made a few loaves that look like that sometimes. There are several things about the characteristic of yeast which we can assign to the kingdom. It starts from the smallest beginnings. Yeast is small but changes huge amounts of dough, as we see in this parable. And we know that in an earthly group or a committee, that if there's one person, they can often be the focus of trouble or the centre of peace. The kingdom of God spreads through the world through the faith and dedicated lives of individual men and women, in places where we work, in places where we live, in the dough of our lives. We are called, even from the smallest beginnings, to bring active growth. Secondly, the kingdom works unseen. We do not see the yeast working or carrying out its actions, except by the results of that yeast. The kingdom of God is working. Don't be in any doubt that the kingdom of God is growing. We may think that we see in the world that it looks like the church is struggling, but God never struggles. The kingdom of God is growing. The kingdom of God is coming. It is here, but it's coming also. We like great acts and deeds and high visibility and praise, but Jesus spoke of a yeast which works away on the inside, mixing with the ingredients. We're called to work in the world to bring God's kingdom and to grow God's kingdom. It works from the inside out. We will never change men and women from the outside. We don't become Christians by walking through those doors, by saying a prayer, by reciting some creed. The change comes from the inside when the kingdom of God comes to live in us. We're not plastering over the cracks. The kingdom changes men and women from the inside out to be totally new creations. And finally, we must remember where this power to make the kingdom changes comes from. It comes from God. There has to be someone who plants the mustard seed. There has to be someone who puts the yeast in the dough. That is Jesus Christ. The power comes through God to make these changes in the world. We don't have to think we're doing it in our own power. The kingdom of God working in us works to make that change. Like waiting for dough to rise. If you've ever put your dough in the airing cupboard or somewhere and waited for it to rise, keep looking, keep looking. We have to be patient to run the race, we're told later on in the Bible, to persevere with total reliance on God through prayer, through obedience. We will see the kingdom of God grow, be fulfilled, justice, mercy, and peace come back. But it's active. The mustard seed is active. The yeast is active. We are called as the kingdom of God to be active. Martin Luther said, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power, that is, in works and practice. God loves the doers of the word in faith and love, and not the mere hearers who, like parrots, have learned to utter certain expressions with readiness. There is action, both the mustard seed and the yeast. We are not stagnant. The kingdom of God is not stagnant. It is active and alive. And we, as members of that kingdom, are called to be active and alive and help the word and the kingdom to grow. Or if we don't know the kingdom of God in our hearts, then to come and seek that kingdom. For that kingdom will grow in your heart and change you and make you grow in the likeness of Christ. Amen.